Gets away from Kante, plays down the line for Suarez. 98 team of the year, Suarez.
He's
gets
a big pass chance.
Ramos.
Suarez, what's he going to do? Tries to feed it back. Is that going to come to Ronaldo? Just trying to get a foot on that, maybe. Pull it now. The man that Bullock loves. Half turn there from Torres. Vieira back to Suarez on the finesse. And there we have it. The Bullock is in London. He turns around. He celebrates. The Bullock. He had a plan and he's performed it.
You're listening to the Foot Champions podcast with Richard and Brandon.
What's going on? Welcome back to a brand new Foot Champions podcast. Episode 13 we're on now. Thank you ever so much for your support, as always. But we're back for another podcast to recap the world of competitive FIFA. And as always, that man, Richard Buckley, he's back for another week. However, this time, he's not under the weather as such, are you, Richard?
No, I've perked up since last week, Brandon. I did listen back last week and I apologise to anybody who was listening to the podcast for my ill tones. And if you did pick up the cold through the airwaves last week, I apologise. But we've got the band back together, you could say. Last week, very, very interesting podcast with Matt HD Gamer. But the main man is back in that third seat this week, Brandon. Welcome to the show, Colin.
I'm so happy to be back, you know. I felt like there were way too many Europeans on last week, and you need some NA flavor, you know, to spice this up.
Welcome back, mate. How have you been?
Pretty good. I can't remember last time if I had been moved into London full-time, but if I wasn't, then I'm, yeah, living full-time here in London now. I've moved up here with Poacher, who now lives up here as well. We go to the office every day like it's a job, and it's been great so far. I've really enjoyed it.
And how have the last month or two been for you? It's been pretty crazy, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been really crazy. Obviously, we had all the boys down to qualify. Unfortunately, it looks like we're going to miss out this season, with everyone, I think, pretty much missing out by two wins, maybe one win. Outside of the top 64, which is of course really hard to take, but I think that's only going to use that as motivation for things like Gfinity coming up in the future.
As always, we are lucky enough to be joined by a top 100 pro or a professional player that plays for an organisation. This week we're joined by not a newcomer since to the scene, but a man that's had a lot of success this year in a very short period of time, hasn't he, Richard?
Yeah, he has. He competed during the Stage 1 playoffs in Barcelona. He constantly puts up the big results on Twitter. Welcome to the show, Ranners.
Hey guys, thank you for having me on here. Should be good.
And how are you doing, mate? Obviously, let's cut to the chase. First of all, if you didn't know, Ranners has just been drafted in as part of Roma and Fnatic. So you've got to be careful what you say this week. Is that true when you got coach calling over your shoulder?
Well, you know, nah, he's a good guy to be working with, so I am excited, but of course, with him lurking in the chat, you got to be careful. But no.
And I want to get straight to it. The big talking points over the last couple of weeks have been Gfinity. We've got someone now in Colin who was really in the thick of it. Talk me through the process, Colin, from looking at all the potential players who could be coming onto the Roma Fnatic roster during this Gfinity process. Some of the pros, some of the cons to the draft, the process, some of the rules that have been put in place, because there's been, I'd say, a little bit of backlash on Twitter. I know we saw Kurt recently speaking about it with the whole substitute situation, so talk about that as well. And let's just get right into it, Colin, so take it away.
Yeah, so obviously the process was, it was pretty interesting. Like, it was, I don't think it's anything that we've really seen in FIFA before. Obviously, every franchise has now been announced. There's been 10 total franchises. We were one of the six that was added. And they introduced the Challenger Series, of course, which everyone was really happy about, really excited about. You know, having Challenger and Gfinity Cups back in the mix was something that I think everyone wanted and something that the community was happy to see. And so basically, it put in a system where, based on the amount of tournaments you won, you know, you got G points, and these G points put you in a ranking system. And if you ended up in the upper echelons of those rankings, you could be drafted. Of course, I think sometimes people forget that Gfinity isn't just FIFA. You know, it's FIFA, Rocket League, and Street Fighter. So you have three different games that you're drafting for. And I think the draft was definitely more suited to Rocket League and Street Fighter, in my opinion, because of having more options to switch in and out, kind of using strategy a bit more with like, oh, you know, which players might suit this situation better, especially with Street Fighter, where you have different characters and, you know, you might have better matchups against certain teams with certain players. But I think for FIFA, it was taken a bit worse in general because most of the new teams that came in and some of the teams that were already in there already had starting rosters. So then a lot of the players were kind of upset when they realized that they were going to be subs. But I think that, you know, the way we handled it was that we have events already during Gfinity that we know we're going to be at. So our subs are going to get the chances to prove themselves, which we're really excited about. We ended up picking up two guys that were, for every game, we pretty much put up a list of three players that we wanted for each game. And Ranners was on our list, and as was Raleigh. And so we ended up pretty happy, but I think some teams ended up not as happy. Some teams went outside of the draft to find those players that they wanted, kind of went around the draft to get those starting players. And now we're at the end of it, and I think a lot of players just didn't like the situation they ended up in. And the order was randomized. The one unfortunate thing is, you know, if a player says, you know, I don't want to be a part of the organization I was drafted by, then the only way that they can get out of that is if they're traded. So the systems were put in place. Some people took advantage of them, some people didn't. But I think overall it was a really good initiative, and it was a really exciting initiative. And I think that next season, I think with people having a better understanding, it'll be received a lot better.
And from a player's perspective, Ranners, what was the Gfinity Elite Series draft like originally, and then with the tournaments before that as well to get into the draft?
Well, so the tournaments themselves I didn't actually focus on too hard because I obviously was kind of getting ready for Barcelona and stuff, but you didn't really in the end need too many points. It was just about getting into the top 30 because your seeding in the Gfinity like draft itself wasn't as important as just doing well outside. But then the draft itself, I mean, you didn't even know, like, the order of the teams wasn't publicized, so you didn't know what draft pick which team had when. But I'm happy with how it went, but I know a lot of people, you know, sub positions or maybe kind of wanted to go to a different team or even had it organized to go to a different team, but then somebody else drafted them before the team could get them or stuff like that. But I'm happy with joining Roma Fnatic. It's feeling pretty good, to be honest.
A nice one. And this, you know, this leads me on to the point now where we can talk about this as well. And it's important to remember as well, if you do hear a few background noises from Colony, he's in the Fnatic bunker, he's surrounded by gamers and other people that work for Fnatic. So if you hear typing and stuff like that, it might be some CSGO players or something, you never know. Could be someone like that around him. But we'll come on to why Colin picked Ranners shortly. But for you, Ranners, an example of a player that really, you know, got his head down in Gfinity was Clutch, obviously. He played Monday to Thursday every single night, then straight away going on to Friday, going on to Weekend League, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. For you, obviously, you did well when you got to Barcelona. Was you playing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday on Gfinity? Or was you saying, right, I'm going to focus on the two tournaments that give me the highest G points and then maybe have a rest on the other days?
Yeah, so the Thursday tournament was really the big one. It had like four times the points of the Monday and Wednesday one. And then the Tuesday one, I believe, was also slightly higher. So they were definitely the two to focus on because with you playing foot champs at the weekend as well, plus, you know, you're playing friendlies, trying to practice, it was a big task. So I just kind of focused on the Tuesday and Thursday ones for sure.
I think for me, as a viewer of the Gfinity Elite Series draft, I think the only criticism that I had was that I wanted to see it streamed. I'm not sure how it would have worked because I understand that it were all done electronically. Is that correct, Colin? I was watching the Hashtag United vlog and where Spencer was going through his draft picks, etc. But it looked hyped. Like, I think if you'd got that in a venue, maybe you had all the teams there, and then they went up to the stage and said, our draft pick for FIFA is going to be, and then they announce it, I think you get more of a bigger reaction there. I think you get more eyes on the product almost. I'm not sure how it would have worked like that, Colin.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was some people had the idea of doing that, and I think it was just a matter of just they weren't able to execute it. But I think that was definitely like what they wanted to do. If you look at like how people in America do it with like the NBA draft and the NFL draft, it is a spectacle. They turned it into a spectacle, and I definitely think that was the idea here. I would have loved to have had it be live because I'm a huge college basketball fan, and one of the biggest events of the year is the NBA draft, and you know, seeing which teams your favorite players get drafted by, and it's a great event. You know, the all the players show up, you know, and they're in suits, and they come up and they get to meet the team owners and get to become a part of the team right then and there, you know, from the very start. Whereas we would like draft players, and then some players, like I know Raleigh was literally in a movie theater and then ended up coming out of the movie theater and was like, oh, I got drafted, you know, and he was almost surprised. And I think those moments would have been really, really fun for the players. But I think hopefully next season they're planning on doing a live draft where, you know, all the players are there and the teams are there, and it's a bit more of a spectacle. But I think it was still incredibly tense. Like for me, I had Insa, Poacher, and some of our social guys in the room, and even some other managers from other teams. And it was a really cool environment to be able to be a part of.
So when did you start like kind of dissecting the final running, Colin? I know you were probably following it from week one all the way through. Did you have maybe eye on 5 to 10 players, and then maybe a week before that draft, you sat down with your players as well, and we thought, you know, personality wise as well, who would we like to see involved in the team? You know, people that are good on social media, the guys that do a bit of content, a bit outgoing. Was that all something that played a part? Because I know that, for example, Tom Halls from Gfinity was saying, you know, he did a massive Twitter thread and he said, you know, don't just focus on being a fantastic FIFA player. Make sure, you know, you're interacting with your audience as well on Twitter. You know, if you can, create some content and obviously keep your social medias quite fresh. And so was that something that played a part in your choices?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you look at the amount that Ranner's tweets in a day, that's pretty accurate. As well, if you look at like he streams, he does YouTube. You know, these are all things that we look at, and it's with active players, it's with sub players, any players that come onto our rosters, they have to have all of these pieces, or at least be willing to build these pieces. As you've seen, like, you know, all of our players stream, and it's a part of being a part of our brand. It's just always interacting with your audience. So the more you can kind of do that stuff, and the more that you can build your own personal fan base, that just makes you that much more valuable to any organization that's looking to draft you.
And you were actually at the Gfinity launch, Brandon, a couple of days ago. What was it like getting there in the Gfinity arena, and did you feel any sort of electricity there? Is it going to be, what's the atmosphere going to be like when that's full with the viewers there supporting their FIFA esports rosters?
Yeah, obviously I was lucky enough to get the call down. It was either, I think, believe it or not, it was either yourself or me that would be going down, and either a FIFA expert just to fill in for the deadline day show. But yeah, as I said, it was interesting. Obviously, as you said, with the drafts and stuff, there was lots of changes there. Because going into it, I was doing all my research, you know, what the drafts were supposed to be. And then I got there, sat down and saw, you know, there were so many new names on the sheets, which we'll come on to shortly. But, the arena in itself, I was there maybe in 2016, so 2 years ago, when I was an admin on the FIFA side of things. And, you know, if anyone doesn't know, it's a renovated cinema, which is now a massive arena, but, you know, it's leaps and bounds to where they were originally. I can tell you one thing, last series, you know, they were selling out for Street Fighter and Rocket League and CSGO, I believe. This year, especially with FIFA being on a Friday night, obviously, we might be able to get down there, but sitting back from home, you're going to think that's going to be absolutely packed. I don't know how it's going to work exactly with the FIFA audience, because that's one thing I'd say that could really be worked on in the esports scene with FIFA, is it has lacked the audiences or that drive for people wanting to come out. But over the last 2 years, you know, the the big names like Gorillas and the Shells and all the hashtag guys, they are now, you know, massive role models for a lot of guys. So they'll be bringing out fans. But I thought we could move on to the groups now. So as you know, 10 teams are involved in the Elite Series 3 across 3 games. Group A, hashtag United, Vitality, sponsored by Renault now, so Renault Vitality, maybe, if they call it that. Team Envy, XL's in there, and then a new organisation, Nordavid, from the Nordic side of things. First of all, let's talk about that group, guys. So, hashtag United, Vitality, Envy, XL, Nordavid. Colin, we'll come to you first. Obviously, as a fanatic manager on the FIFA side of things, are you happy that you've avoided some of those names?
Yeah. Hashtag especially, a very, very strong team on the Xbox and the PlayStation side. And it's actually funny because on those rosters, it's like, who do you start? You know, like they've got Ryan and Harry, who have both been at the club a long time. Or sorry, Ryan, relatively new. But then they signed Dreamer as well on the draft, who's another player that qualified for playoffs. So I think on the Xbox side, it's a pretty tough choice. And then I think Aga announced that he's actually moving to London, so I assume that means that he will be their starter as well. But then again, I'm also upset we didn't get them, because I think being able to have that a bit of a rivalry with them would have been fun. But hopefully we'll just meet him in the playoffs instead. Vitality as well, of course, is a team you always want to avoid. But of course, with Rocky taking a break from the game, it makes them a bit less of a threat. And then the other two teams was Nordavind and XL. They don't scare me as much, I think, but they both have solid rosters, and I'm sure they'll be able to give Vitality and hashtag pretty good games on their day as well.
From another player's perspective, Ranners, what do you see when you look at other teams and other players? Do you study your opposition before a big game where you know you're going to be playing against someone, or do you like to just go in and play the way that you play FIFA and just try and outdo your opponent that way?
Well, I'd like to get just a general sense of their game. Like, I wouldn't go into it too much. Maybe their main formation, as well as kind of do they play fast or slow. But other than that, I feel you just kind of have to go in with a game plan and definitely 2 backup plans. So you want to prepare for if you take the lead, how you're going to maintain that lead and try to see out the game. Or, of course, if you go behind, You want to know before the game even starts, if I go behind, this is what I'm switching to. Maybe I put up my aggression and pressure and see can I get back into the game that way. I don't want to be, you know, falling behind in a game and not have already thought out what I'm going to do next, because I could make the wrong decision while in the moment of the game. So I like to be prepared that way.
And whilst I've got you here as well, talk to me about your group. We'll go through it now. So Unilad, Epsilon, Fnatic, who you will be representing, Fnatic / AS Roma, and then Method, and then Team Ares. You know, who are you? You're not looking forward to playing in that group.
So this group, like, I think it looked better at the start because Method, you know, you're thinking, okay, they don't really have players yet. They'll maybe get some draft picks. See how they do, but then they ended up having that partnership with Footwiz, leading them to have Pricey and Zalonius, 2 good players. So now they're even more of a threat. Of course, you've got Unilad with Gorilla, that, I mean, don't even have to say anything on that. You got Epsilon, who do have Fully, who is a good player, definitely for sure. And then Ares, I'm not so sure about. I assume that'd be the easiest game in the group, but at this level, there's not really such a thing as an easy game.
And I believe Tass has joined Unilad for this tournament as well, is that correct?
I believe it is, and whilst we're talking about it, let's get on to the rosters now. First of all, let's go and have a look. So I'm basing this off the information that I was given on that Deadline Day show. Let's start off with XL then. XL Shane, XL Painter, and XL Kev, obviously the 3 original players that will be there. And then we got Clutch in there. I don't know if you saw a lot of Clutch, Richard, but this man, as I said, he grinded Gfinity out.
He grinded Gfinity out, and I believe he did it a lot as well on his live stream on Twitch as well. He did it live, which I don't know if a lot of the viewers have ever done, but playing to an audience while and trying to entertain an audience while trying to play competitive FIFA is extremely hard. I'm sure Ranners can talk about that as well. How hard is it to live stream? Like, that's why I have so much respect for Zalonius, what he did back in November in qualifying. He live streamed every single Foot Champs game and he still went on to qualify. Like, to be able to do that does take some quite a lot of skill, to be honest.
Yeah, no, the thing with live stream, like, it's not even... Okay, so you're playing your game, obviously, a lot of concentration. Trying to entertain the audience, a lot of concentration there as well. But the fatigue that it carries is the main part because, you know, you're focusing intensely on the game. But when you've got to be juggling multiple things at such a high level, like, you just start getting drained very quickly, which just makes what you're doing even harder. So to qualify while streaming like he did, it's a really impressive feat, if you ask me.
And other players, you could say maybe ones that aren't as known as yet, and, you know, that's perfectly capable because this is what Tufinity were trying to do. They give the players the platforms to go and compete. You've got D. Giaccio, if I've said that right, a German there, and you've got Connor Naylor from the UK.
I think you'd be remiss, too, to not mention Painter when talking about XL, you know. Like, he's definitely the one player you're looking at that roster, and you're like, if someone's going to cause some upsets among that group, it's probably going to be from Painter's side.
Would you say that he's probably the team captain, Colin?
Yeah, I think so, because I think he's actually been there for like a decent amount of time as well. He can show the new boys the ropes, you know, kind of guide them as they're playing. Because I think Painter actually joined when Poacher joined, if I'm not mistaken. I might be wrong. Tweet me if I am wrong. But I think he joined with Poacher, which was, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. So I'm pretty sure he's been there for a while. And it's a great organization, actually. I'm pretty close to the Kieran, who's part of that organization. And I admire them as a UK org, coming from a UK org. So I hope they do well.
So let's move on to Team Method then. So as we know, there's a few teams involved in the Gfinity series that are new to FIFA, which, as you said, Colin, you know, the debate about, you know, some players going as pros. The good thing is there are, as you said, probably a good few teams that are new to FIFA, so the guys that are drafted are getting first team action. As you said, that Method team, it all changed in the last 24 hours. Let's talk about some of the players then. So Xveni, this guy deserves a bit of credit, just missed out on qualification for both the Foot Champions events, but I'm glad he's got a bit of success via Gfinity. Rip Torek, he's in there as well, a Polish player. L1012, a British player as well. And then let's talk about the Footwiz guys, Richard. Zalonius is in there, and Pricey. Footwiz at the moment are on fire.
Yeah, I think we're at four players, that the four of their players have qualified for the next event, the Spring Cup. Zalonius, Dubsy, Honey Badger and Pricey all qualified. They're doing the business, really, at the minute. The Footwiz org, they had quite a good run in Barcelona. A lot of their players, that was their actual first event. I know Zalonius, that was his first major event that he's ever competed at FIFA. I think this could be a good learning experience for him, Zalonius. I think he's got a lot of quality, and I think playing week in, week out against other real top-class opposition in a live environment, I think a lot of the people who compete at the Gfinity Elite Series over the weeks, you'll see a better performance from those players in the Spring Cup.
Essentially, you know, it's extra training. And, you know, linking into this, we can bring in Ranners here. Obviously, Zalonius, again, got a lot of success this year. He said he took a few years off FIFA. You've both had success and you both kind of come in new to FIFA 18 at the highest level. You know, what's it like being surrounded by, because we see it at the events in Barcelona, there's, you know, there's a little groups of players that, you know, hang around together, and I believe you're with some of the XL guys as well, Ranners. What's it like having that, maybe that little group of friends in the scene, which, you know, you support each other when it goes well, and when it's not going so well, you pick each other up?
Yeah, no, it's funny, you might have seen my tweet there yesterday, just saying how far these guys come. So, because, like, this time, it was probably this time last year, I started playing with the likes of Crafty, Dreamer, Ryan, guys like this, and like, I mean, just to see the progress they've made is crazy. But yeah, when we're in Barcelona, it was good to have people I've known for a good while to support each other, like, because I don't know, like, at these big events it can be very, like, a daunting task with all the people around, all the emotions running high. But it's nice to just still have some people there, you know.
And to link into this, we can bring Colin to this as well. You know, there's talk about Fnatic now in the Elite Series. Obviously, they've got their three, obviously, their main players, their Poacher, Insa, and Zimmy. How important is it, you know, you're having a good team vibe at Fnatic, Roma, you know, from the bosses that are above you? You know, what do they implement to you, Colin, as a FIFA manager? They say, right, we want a team that everyone's going to, you know, support each other, we're going to train together. And, you know, it goes without saying, obviously, you want a team that are going to have fun as well at the same time.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that we've managed to put together a pretty young, exciting team that has some potential. I think that a lot of our guys haven't hit their ceilings yet, which is exciting, because knowing that your players can only get better is something that every manager wants to feel. And I feel that right now with genuinely like all five of my players. I think that all of them have another level that they can reach. That we're yet to see, and I think that Gfinity is going to give us a great chance to prove that. I think Poacher is using Barcelona as like motivation almost, as he didn't perform well there, and I think being able to use that moving into Gfinity is going to be a big part of it, because obviously if he doesn't perform well in Gfinity, you've got Ranners right behind you putting on that pressure. And I think that's a big part of what we're trying to build in the team now too, is all the guys are really good friends and they get along, but I think now with Rale being able to push Zima, and with Ranners being able to push Poacher and Insa, like, there's going to be a much more like competitive vibe in the camp, which I think we've missed sometimes, but as well them being able to help each other on social media, on content, on all these other things. I think having a bigger team is only going to be a better thing for us.
And talk to me about, obviously we've talked about Ranners there, obviously an Irish pro. You know, Rale, again, he said he's still a young player. Me and Richard were at a tournament last year that Zindy was involved in as well. It was a Swedish Cup, I believe, for, I think it might be for under-21s only. It was the Go-To E-Cup, and Rale went and won that. He is a talented player. He's just been one or two wins off making it, you could say, in foot champions.
Yeah, and I think that's been the case with a lot of our players, like I said earlier about the foot champions cup, and all of our guys pretty much being one to two wins outside, which is pretty frustrating. But obviously, now that we have this chance with Gfinity, there's another place to prove ourselves. And I think that's what excites me too, is because of some other events, there are going to be chances for Ranners and Raleigh, and to be able to see where their levels are compared to these other players is going to be really interesting. Because obviously Raleigh played really well last year, but I haven't seen a ton of him this year, and now being able to see what his level is at is going to be really valuable for me. Obviously Ranners playing so well in Barcelona just gives me more faith in him going into Gfinity, that he'll be able to perform when he's called upon.
And let's talk about another team in the Gfinity Elite Series, Team Envious, Brandon. Massive esports organisation. The boys in blue have come over to FIFA. Talk me through that roster.
So, yes, obviously Team Envious, you said, have come into it. As you said, a fantastic move as well. They're coming into FIFA now. So this is how they're looking. So they've got Aero in there, a French player. I believe he used to play for Epsilon. You've got Lyrix. 30, a British player. He's been doing exceptionally well. One or two marks off really doing well in foot champions. A real good player as well in real E7 under the Stark Esports banner. A very good German player. We know what the Stark guys are like over there. And then you've got Jez Singh, who is from Birmingham. So, again, another org that is full of some of people that we haven't seen yet. And this is what Gfinity can do. You know, you can give players that, for example, we always seem to go back to DH Techs, but the Foot Champions Cup was a prime example of that. You can go from being unknown to being maybe a superstar in FIFA.
Yeah, and I believe Jazz or Jez from Birmingham did qualify for the Spring Cup, Brandon, in that top 64. So this will be a good, you could say, warm-up for him personally under such a big organisation such as Team Envious to play week in, week out at the Gfinity Elite Series, getting ready for the Spring Cup.
Another organisation, let's have a look at. Let's go over to Epsilon. Again, another legendary FIFA organization as well, obviously across all boards. Let's have a look at their roster. So Epsilon Fully, you've obviously got Mover there as the coach. Dingo is a really good move from them as well.
Mover is playing as part of the Epsilon roster. Runners, in your opinion, do you think coaches, because he's more of a coach than a player, do you think a FIFA coach is essential to having a good tournament or having growth as a FIFA player? Not as so much as what Colin does, where he manages the players, but having someone stood behind you who plays a lot of the game, who can give you tips and tricks here and there.
You can't discount Colin there, because he does support you when you're at events, as I saw from what he did for Poacher in Barcelona. But yeah, I think having a coach or just a manager, I don't think specifically a coach is that important. Just having somebody behind you, because you know what you need to do, but just, you know, just confident boosts, you know, maybe just leveling the head during the game, just stuff that you can't really think about in the moment that you just need somebody external to tell you is so vital. And Mover, one of the best to do it, if you ask me, so definitely going to help Epsilon.
And moving on, I believe, sorry not to give that man a shout, we'll check him out now. Lost in the Waves as well is in that team, a player from Germany. Over to Vitality now. Again, obviously we know that Rocky is on a break at the moment, and we wish him all the best there, so he won't be involved with Vitality. Vitality, Ty Walton, he was a new signing. He represented them in Barcelona, and obviously the man himself, Vitality Brian, is in there, team captain, and he had a bit of a good run as a coach last year, didn't he, Richard?
Yeah, he did, Vitality Brian. He guided, he was on Rocky's shoulder all the way in Berlin. He was sat next to him on his crutches, bless him, because he was injured during the time in Berlin, I should say. But he was the coach behind Rocky and helped him all the way, really, to winning $160,000 at the Ultimate Team Championship Cup.
And FIFA Freddo is in there as well. Let's go over to one of the big boys in the competition, Unilad. This one can take a bit of time to dissect. Wow. So, as you know, Gorilla and Shell's obviously already in there. However, it popped up during the Deadline Day show a few days back that TASS is in there as well. That is huge.
Yeah, TASS, obviously good friends with Gorilla. Maybe he's had a message there. Colin, what's your opinion on this? As someone, you were there at the draft, you drafted your players. What's your opinion on other people who weren't part of the draft coming in and almost substituting for players?
I'm not sure, to be honest, because I think that the point of the draft was to provide you with substitute players that are kind of up-and-comers, you know, that maybe haven't had their chance before, and bringing in TASS is kind of the complete opposite of that. It's definitely not what we did. It's not what we would have done. Even if, you know, let's say, for example, like Dragon or someone like that was just like, hey, can I be your sub? We probably wouldn't have gone for that move, just because we bought into the idea of the draft. And I don't know if Unilad really kept in the spirit of the draft with that move. But obviously he's a great player, and he's going to add a lot to that organization. I'm obviously not going there full time, just being a player. And I think living in London, he's probably just going to come down and be maybe more of a coach to Gorilla. I'm not sure if they're actually going to split time or not, because I'm pretty sure they're friends as well. So like Rainer's had, just having that guy behind you might help Gorilla in the same way that Dragon helped him at FIWC last year. But the roster overall, you know, it's pretty strong. The only thing I would say is that, you know, Shells is a very good player, but ever since he won the championship last year, the tournament he won last year, he hasn't really had this same level of performance, I would say. I don't think he's really yet to prove himself in FIFA 18, but it'll be interesting if he can bring his level back up when it comes to Gfinity.
I think that's a great point, talking about Shells. I've said it a couple of times, really, that apart from Berlin, where he went in, you could say, as less of a favourite, a definite underdog. Not many people knew about him unless you were a big, big FIFA fan. He went into the FIWC Grand Finals as a bigger name, didn't perform there. It's safe to say he went out in the group stage, and then in Barcelona, one of the biggest stages in FIFA 18 after going in as the top seed, 160 wins out of 160 wins. He went down to the last game in the Swiss-style format and then went out in the round of 32. Granted, he did have a very tough matchup, but everybody did, really. So I think for him personally as well, he will want to prove himself at a big event, the Gfinity Elite Series. There's not much bigger than this.
And also not forgetting Unilab Bill, who is in there as well. It would be interesting to see there. Ranners, what do you make of that Unilab roster? Because it is a strong one, isn't it?
I mean, it definitely is. Like, you really can't say anything else. Shells, for me, whilst he hasn't performed since Berlin like he has, I mean, he's still done very well, and especially he's had great FUT Champions success. And you know, a couple of losses in the last few tournaments, but I mean, even to get to top 32 is still an achievement. And you can just have an off game, and that can just end up you getting kicked out of the tournament. But yeah, on Xbox, then Tass and Gorilla. I mean, like Colin said, I assume it'll be Gorilla, and Tass will just be there, kind of supporting him, maybe playing the odd game. But like, Gorilla still for me best in the business. So. And difficult.
And linking in with what you said there, I think that is a great point there, that sometimes it is a thing that it does go under the radar, that these guys are playing exceptionally well, including yourself, Ranners, that are getting to the top 128 players, first of all, in the whole world out of, you know, millions that play this game. So in itself, that is a huge achievement, and congratulations to the guys that have just secured that last weekend when this comes out, believe it or not. But another organisation, let's have a look at then, Nordavind, if I've said that right, I believe it or not, from the Nordic region. They're an interesting one. They've got a partnership with a Norwegian football club, I believe there. They've got three players down on their roster at the moment, and a big name, a really big name in the Polish scene, Dami, or you may have seen him as Dami Hulk. He's an exceptional player, Richard.
Yeah, it really is. I think he was in Barcelona. You always see him in that top 100, there or thereabouts, really doing well. And I think he was actually a lot of people's first pick, you could say, in this draft to get picked up. He brings a following with him from the Polish scene, Brandon, and definitely one to watch.
And obviously you got Chin War in there as well, a French player, and then Diogo Peixota, if I believe I may have said that right or wrong. That's Nordavid there. They look like a very good organisation. It's important to remember as well, Dami did qualify for the April event. Another new organisation. And I love the way that these organisations are coming about, and also how they are being put together. Team Ares are funded by former athletes. You know, believe it or not. Colin, what do you make of that? Obviously, you normally get a typical gaming organisation made by gaming fans. You've got an organization here that has been supported by athletes.
Yeah, I don't think it's a surprise to see. You know, you've seen a lot of athletes getting involved just in the last couple days. Actually, you saw PK come in, leading Barcelona's charge into esports, going into PES, unfortunately. But it seems like there's a lot of interest from the I guess you could say in real life sports scene, with in America as well, with a lot of the you know, traditional sports organizations getting involved with a lot of the esports organizations. So it's very cool to see, and it's kind of cool to see individuals do it as well. Like I said, with PK, but now you have guys like James Rodriguez and Musa Sissoko, and you know, a couple, yeah, Rude Hullet, of course, starting his own team. You know, there's a lot of interest coming from that side of things, and you know, the more money and the more eyes that we get on ourselves, and the more that people like James Rodriguez and PK and Hullet can help that and make that happen, then you know, they're more than welcome.
And for me, this organization, or this roster, I reckon it could be an underrated one. We talked about it, as I said, a few days ago on the deadline day. Janos is in there. I don't know the situation there, if he's going to move to London or not, or if he'll come for many weeks or maybe just a few. Zach Moore's in there, again a good player. Moel Basher's in there. Izzo Power, a good Turkish player. Dapo from Italy, and then Arcaro from France.
They've almost picked the just anybody from any region who's good at FIFA, just come and play Like, you've got some huge names in there. Janos and Al Basha teaming up to take on the G-Fin Elite Series. I love that team. I'm going to definitely watch out for that one.
And then finally, the big boys. Hashtag United, another big name, which... Let's talk about that first, Colin. You know, we said about getting more eyes on this eSport, getting more eyes on Gfinity. Hashtag coming into it, you know, alongside all these other organisations, well, let's not forget it. But Hashtag, you know, as the brand is in FIFA alone, moving into other eSports as one is helping that massively, the Rocket League and Street Fighter scene. But for this whole competition, it's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I was a bit surprised to see them come in because, to be honest, like, Rocket League seems just a natural extension of what Hashtag is, but Street Fighter seemed like such a far departure of like what Hashtag is at this or at that moment. But for them to actually go into it, it really shows that they're taking esports seriously, and that excites, I think, a lot of people. And to see them come in with such strong rosters, you know, here, their Street Fighter roster is pretty decent. Their Rocket League roster's got Doomsy, who's one of, like, the most loved Rocket League figures, you could say. So I think Hashtag being in there is a good thing, and it'll definitely, that arena will definitely be full on FIFA weekends.
So let's have a look at that Hashtag lineup. So as we know, Hashtag Harry, Ryan, Boras, and Aggie, you know, they speak volumes for themselves. They're all in that April event. Dreamar, I believe, may be in that. He finished 65th, I believe, and obviously, yeah, as you know, people will drop out. But Rich, talk to me about that. Dreamar, he is already in the playoffs in June, wherever they will be. And then Fur Perry as well. He's a guy that has all his success on Gfinity for some reason, from Spain.
Yeah, Fur Perry, very good player from the Spanish scene. Dropped off a little bit recently in the last couple of years, but can definitely mix it up with the best. And Dreamer, one of the best players, one of the best young players. I'm sure Ranners can tell us a little bit about him as well. If you've played with him before, what is he like as a player? But for me, very entertaining to watch. Very entertaining young player from Wales and representing the Hashtag banner. Probably, would I go out and say on a limb, probably on paper, one of the best rosters in the Gfin Elite Series.
Yeah, Dreamer, a good friend of mine, like, he's a guy I knew was going to be a threat coming into Barcelona, and obviously, with his top 8 finish securing that playoff spot, he really proved himself, to be honest, and definitely caught the eye of Hashtag, as shown by the fact that they drafted him. But yeah, the roster as a whole, I mean, Hashtag Ryan, being friends with him for ages, and he's so good as well. You got Hashtag Harry, everybody knows he's brilliant. Then you go over to PlayStation, you got Aggie and Boras, two great players as well. So I don't see a weakness in that whole roster, to be fair. So it's got to be one of the best.
So as we've just gone through there, the 10 teams, 10 organisations involved, I'm sure Colin can explain this a bit more now, obviously depending on what you can say, what's been released. Talk to me about how the format is going to be broken up then, Colin.
Yeah, so it seems top 3 teams from both 5 from both groups of 5 will move into the playoffs. If you finish first in your group, you get that all valuable bye into the semifinals, which gets you into the money because the top 4 teams in each game go home with some kind of prize money. But if you finish in second or third, you'll play the second or third place team, you know, alternatively. So if you finish second in Group A, you're playing third in Group B. So your placement in the groups is very important heading into the playoffs. And it seems that each side, so PlayStation and Xbox, will have their own champion. And those champions will then move on to the FEWC playoffs, I believe. So the spot is up for grabs, and that just makes the event that much more important for these players because everyone wants to win their side of the bracket. But also, each player will gain 1 point overall for their team ranking if they win. And if they both win, so if your PlayStation player and your Xbox player win, then you get an extra point. So that would be 3 points total for each week up for grabs if both of your players do the business.
And I'm guessing we can talk about this more as a whole. Ranners can have his thought on this as well. You know, last year, it was mainly Foot Champs-based tournaments, and then we kind of went off on a sidetrack of FIWC. This year, we still don't know everything that's happening, of course, but it's nice to have a variety of maybe different tournaments, you could say, or different leagues. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, it is good to have a variety of stuff. I still think there should be maybe an extra qualifying month, considering only top eight from each like official Foot Champs EA event get through. I feel like there could have definitely been a third to make it 24 being from them events. But yeah, it is definitely good to have a bit of variety. Maybe a little bit more information about the events earlier would have been better, but it's still early days.
And to link in with that as well, you know, I'm sure these announcements will come out soon, and what already we know is that it is clever what they've done. You know, yeah, they've given the pro leagues obviously their spots, you know, E-Divisie, A-League, EMLS. You know, they've made sure that there are regional players from different regions making it into it, and as such, we're not really relying on, you know, the Foot Champions to just bring through the North American players, you could say, or the Americas region. I think they have done that quite well.
Well, I think as well, if you look at that American region, it's starting to really start to thrive. I'm sure Colin can speak a little bit about this as well, but Joey finished second or third on the Xbox leaderboard just goes to show how they are stepping up. Nicholas got 160-0 in qualifying. I think this next event, the Spring Cup, we're going to see a very, very big American presence doing well at the tournament. If you look, Nicholas made it to the grand final, a player from that American region. So I think it's time for them to really step up on the global scale.
Yeah, I mean, Nicholas, I mean, is your PS4 champion right now, currently. You know, like, the America's players are no joke. Chris, as well, is, in my opinion, probably a top five PS4 player in the world currently as well. And the guy's an absolute, like, just beast, you know? He's so good. You look at guys like Janos, who, in my opinion, last year, especially at that grand final, was the second best player there behind Gorilla, if not better than Gorilla. Some of the things that he did, especially with how good Rocky was last year and what he did to Rocky in that final, I've never seen anything like that, especially against Rocky in the form he was in at the tail end of that season. So there's a lot of quality there. It's just a question of being able to bring it out. And it's good to see guys like Dylan, for example, who was at the Los Angeles event that Amon qualified from when he was a part of our team last season. Seeing Dylan there, I think he just missed out. I think he actually lost to who did he lose to? I can't remember at this moment. I think he might have lost to Janos to qualify for that event. But yeah, it's good to see that there's quality in all regions, and you know, you've got the rest of the world guys, with guys like Honey Badger and Marcus being able to qualify too. You know, there's quality from all over the world, and it's being represented through Foot Champions.
And I think that kind of, you know, wraps up this podcast. It's been a Gfinity Elite Series based podcast, because obviously that is launching next Friday. As you know, as we get closer to this April event, we will focus on the names that will be there, the 128 players that will be there. But overall, Richard, again, you know, it's a common theme at the moment, which is fantastic with how the competitive scenes go. And you know, each week we're down a different avenue.
Yeah, we are. There's so many different. It's almost like the tree of FIFA Esports is just sprouting out now. We're getting so many different branches that we can go off, whether it be Gfinity, whether it be content creators. We've always got Colin here to keep us grounded, what's happening on the floor of Esports, what's happening in the nitty-gritty behind the scenes. So I think we're covering all avenues at the minute. And once again, thank you to Ranners for coming on this week.
And as you said, Richard, obviously a big thank you to Ranners for coming on. As always, Colin, thank you so much for your expertise, especially with the Gfinity stuff. And you know, if you want to go down to London and check out that, they have announced that all the tickets are free throughout all of Elite Series 3. And you can meet Ranners, you can meet Colin, you can meet a number of other players as well, I'm sure. But that's going to wrap up another week on the podcast. It's been a pleasure as always with my co-host Richard Buckley. We'll be back again next week for another podcast. If you have enjoyed this one and you're watching on YouTube, be sure to drop a like, be sure to subscribe, comment below what you want to see, who you want to see on the podcast in future weeks. If you want to get involved with the show, at FootChampsPod on Twitter, hashtag FootChampionsPod. And yeah, until next time, we'll catch you later. Bye-bye. Oh.
If you like what you're hearing, why not subscribe? Just go to @FootChampionsPod on Twitter, drop a follow, and then you'll find all your subscription options in the pinned tweet. Oh, and also, while I've got you, why not check out this podcast, More Casual Older Brother, the Foot Weekly podcast, for in-depth reviews, Team of the Week rundown, content chat, and general foot discussion.